All right. Let's light this candle.
Just keep cranking away.
So take that and think about that for a little bit.
Wow, bro.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Third down and 5. Wilson's going to go deep, wide open, and into the hands of David Moore. Take a bow after a 60-yard touchdown.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Do you slide on all your nights like this?
Good morning. Welcome in. 9 o'clock in the great city of Chicago. I'm David Kaplan. This is Cap and Company in the First Midwest Bank Studio with Danny Zetterman and Chris Black. And thank you, Seattle Seahawks. Thank you for winning on Monday Night Football. Still alive, baby. That's right. That sets up a heck of a challenge on Thursday. Boy, you find a way. As I said yesterday, don't let us win now on Thursday, because Packer week will be ablaze. Holy smokes. Danny, how are you today, kid?
Cappy, I'm reading between the lines. Ablaze and holy smokes. January 1st in Chicago. Can't get here quick enough for you, buddy?
That's it, kid. Man, would it be amazing to beat the Cowboys, have a football Friday, baby, where it's a victory Friday. And then game on, go to Lambeau.
Don't get ahead of your skis here. They have to beat the Cowboys.
That's what I just said. No,
you said don't let us beat the Cowboys, because then the Packers game would be great. Forget the Packers. Don't even think about the Packers. Who would have thunk that going into week 14 of the NFL season for the Chicago Bears, they'd be in the playoffs? Because Thursday is a playoff game for the Bears. Their only shot of actually making the legit playoffs is to beat the Cowboys on Thursday night. And the Seattle Seahawks gave the Bears a gift by beating the Vikings.
Danny, who would have thunk it? He's actually right behind you. Because I have to give credit where credit's due. As much as I disagree with him at times on some of his takes, Christopher Bleck was the first one on this show, hence the first on this station, to come out and lay out a roadmap to go to the playoffs.
Well, Cap, someone's got to be positive here on the show, and I saw it a few weeks ago that there was something there, that if the Bears could just figure out a way to win, and this season has not gone the way that any of us expected, but the defense is good enough still a top 10 defense, and the offense, even though they have so many flaws and so many problems specifically with the quarterback, have not been disastrous to this point. They've been bad, but they haven't completely killed the season off yet. So if they can figure out something over the next four games, and the defense can play okay defense and keep them in games, and somehow your kicker doesn't mess it up, there's a lot of ifs going on here. But if you can get some wins, you are still alive and you're still in it. Just because the Vikings are ahead by two games right now doesn't mean that that can't change at the end of the month.
What if I told you that with 2 seconds left in the game Thursday night, Eddie Pinheiro is lining up for a 49-yard field goal, or we could start the game at the beginning and play it? Which option would you take?
Wait, what? You want us to go to the final play and have Pinheiro lining up?
I'm giving you two options. We'll either kick the game off and let's play it out and see what happens, or I'll fast forward all the way to the end of the game. There's 2 seconds left, 49 yards, Eddie Pinheiro to win it.
I'm not trusting this kicker whatsoever.
So you're
I would
play out the whole game.
If the option was kicking it from 49 to win the game, I'd say go for it. I mean, why would you let Eddie Pinheiro ruin your season?
No. 49 yards with 2 seconds left.
Yeah.
You're down.
Yes.
Two.
Yes. Go for it. Why would you kick it? Seriously. Why would you allow Eddie Money, whatever his name is, who's terrible, to be the guy that decides this season? I wouldn't. I would say go for it.
Plus,
I know I'm kidding, but still, I don't think any Bears fan trusts this kicker from anything outside of 20 yards.
That question's horrible. That defeats the whole purpose of why we all love sports. to watch the entire game to see how it plays out, to get them in the position where Eddie Pinheiro could be going for the game-winning kick. You just want to fast forward to the end? Just let's get to the end so I know what happens. That is so style. You're the guy that would watch The Irishman on Netflix and fast forward to the part where they kill Jimmy Hoffa. Even though we all know what happens, you just got to get to the end.
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
I'm just giving you the...
What does Mindy think of this philosophy in your life? Just trying to rush to the end of things.
Oh, poor Mindy.
Come on.
It's all about me, right? Anyway.
Just let that awkward silence simmer.
Got nothing to say there.
Anyway, I'm excited for this game on Thursday night. I am jacked. Jacked. Think it's going to be a whole lot of fun to see a team that all of a sudden has life. And the number of negative people online this morning, yesterday when we were talking about it, calling in, they got no chance, blah, blah. They're alive, baby. And that Vikings team did not look very good last night. Kirk Cousins still winless on Monday Night Football in his career. Winless. And Russell Wilson, the best record all time in night games. Any kind of night game. It's incredible how good that guy is. And he's only like 5'10", 5'11". Unbelievable. 312-332-3776. There's other things to discuss. Jesse's going to join us at 9:30. So say goodbye to Addison Russell. It's about freaking time. He's gone. Non-tendered by the Chicago Cubs. Good. Glad he's out of here. And don't ever make that kind of mistake again, Cubs. I give you credit for trying to rehabilitate a young man, but you should never have let him wear your uniform again after all the stuff that went on. He's out of here. Goodbye. And now comes word from Jeff Passan. He said the Chicago Cubs have been, according to various executives, aggressive, manic, motivated, and obvious in their desire to trade someone or someones. The Cubs are going to make a move. They're just not sure what yet. Contreras is the name bandied about the most, partially because at $5 million or so, as a first-time ARB-eligible player, he's cheap and comes with 3 full years of control. Chris Bryant, who turns 28 in January, is only 4 months older than Contreras, but could cost quadruple the amount as a third-time eligible player. Because Bryant is so costly, and because there's a risk, albeit slight, that an arbitrator could rule in his favor that the Cubs manipulated his service time and award him an extra day of service, giving him free agency after this season, teams are hesitant on him. And that complicates matters because a former MVP on the trade market for a team with aspirations to win in 2020 is as weird as it sounds. It's why Anthony Rizzo's name comes up in discussions. He seems untradeable. The likelihood of the Cubs moving him certainly is lower than the others, but even he could move in this climate. The Cubs know they need to be creative. They also know the first move they make is perhaps the most important and will set the tone for their winter. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? The name Anthony Rizzo coming up in trade? Like, that sounds unheard of. We'll see. We'll be live at the winter meeting starting Monday morning at 9 a.m. Danny and I will be out there all week long. I'll be doing radio and TV, so we'll be all over anything that breaks while we're there. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Joe in Janesville, Wisconsin. What's up, JoJo?
Cap, you have got to calm down.
Why?
You sound like preseason Cap. Have you not learned anything this season yet?
I will never calm down. Yeah, I've watched every second of every game multiple times.
All right. What part of that makes you think they're a playoff team?
All I said was still alive, baby. Still alive.
Well, the Cubs are still alive the last week.
Well, let me just tell you that the Bears are going to get Akeem Hicks back next week. They're at home on Thursday night. Mitchell Trubisky's playing better. I'm just telling you, kid, don't let us win on Thursday. Because next week...
You sound like preseason Cap.
I'm just telling you, kid. Don't let us win on Thursday, because there'd be nothing sweeter than going up the Lambo and whizzing on that parade. Holy smokes.
All right. See, well, I hope they do, but yeah, you might want to rein it in a little bit.
No shot. I don't live that way. I live one way, man. pedal to the metal, all in.
All right, well, I'll enjoy the rest of your show.
You're the best. See you, Joe.
See ya.
There you go. It's our guy Joe up in Janesville. 312-332-3776. And let's go to Tom in Downers Grove. Hey, Tommy, what's up, man?
How's it going, Cap?
Good, kid.
Just wanted to let Danny know, thanks for saving me the 3 hours on the Irishman. I appreciate it.
Way to go, Danny.
You're welcome, my man.
Listen. If you don't know that the Jimmy Hoffa story, you shouldn't be watching the Irishman, right? Like, it's like watching the Titanic and being surprised when it sinks.
Just because I don't know doesn't mean I want to learn.
Listen, Tom, though, I didn't, like, reveal the ending of The Sixth Sense to you. It's not a mystery. It's a true story.
No, I know.
Yes, Jimmy Hoffa sees dead people. That's how it ends. Yep.
Oh, now Chris went too far.
Way to go, Chris.
Yeah. He's also Kaiser Sose.
There you go.
Perfect.
Wow. Anyway. Hey, Tom, have a good day, man. Appreciate you always listening to the show. 312-332-3776.
To be fair, to support Danny, there are conflicting reports if the story behind The Irishman is even true. So you could even argue that it has a level of fiction to it. So there you go.
All right, let's go to the phones, and let's get Paul on the north side. Hey, Paul, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, Sparkles. I have to disagree with you today, Cap. Kirk Cousins had comparable numbers to Russell Wilson. Minnesota's defense gave up 17 points in the second quarter, so it looks like Minnesota's defense let the team down. Kirk Cousins seems to be stepping up his game, although I'm not a ginormous Kirk Cousins fan. But on the other hand, if Mitch Trubisky had Kirk Cousins' numbers against a top-tier team like that, which he probably never will in his career, we would be talking Super Bowl. I do believe the Bears have a zero chance of making the playoffs or anybody in the NFC North even getting past the NFC Championship game. So that's just my thoughts, not to be too negative, but I'm just looking at the data.
Think back to when the Giants had to squeak in at 9-7, and how did that end up for them?
Eli Manning, twice, both years, 9-7. But we're too dysfunctional. We are the Bears. We have a dysfunctional offense, and I could never see us doing those Eli Manning-esque type Super Bowl victories against the Patriots. No way.
Never know, kid.
Okay, I hope I'm wrong.
See you, bud. Have a good day. Appreciate it.
Paul is right and wrong about the Seahawks game yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's right in the fact that the Vikings defense sucked. How about this stat, right? Xavier Rhodes, defensive back for the Vikings, Russell Wilson was 5 for 5 for 105 yards and a 60-yard touchdown when Rose was the nearest defender. Mm-hmm. That's bad.
That's awful.
On the other
line, that's like me guarding the guy.
Correct. On the other hand, though, Kirk Cousins was bad. According to ESPN stats and info, Kirk Cousins completed 43% of his second half passes, and that's when they were trailing and trying to make a comeback, which is the second worst second half total of his entire Vikings career. Wow. So he wasn't good.
No.
Listen, the story was, and if anyone in Hallis Hall is listening to me, if you want to have success in the NFL,
Run the football.
Russell Wilson is a top two quarterback in the league right now. Top three quarterback in the league right now.
He might be the MVP.
Yeah. Guess what the Seahawks did? They ran the ball for 218 yards, even with Russell Wilson out there.
Do you know that in the first 52 plays, when they grabbed the lead and were in control, before they tried to put it on ice, before, when they were battling, they were down 17-10 at the half, 28 of the first 52 were runs. 28-24 was the ratio. Run overpass.
Yes, and that's with Russell Wilson under center. The Seahawks have a 5-game winning streak. In that 5-game winning streak, they're averaging 167 rush yards per game. It takes the Bears 9 games to get to 167 rush yards.
Cap, we're getting a lot of instant reaction on social media. Mm-hmm. People want to know, what does it mean when you're telling people, don't let us win? Can you explain to the audience what that means, don't let us win, your take today on the Chicago Bears?
What that means is you better put this team down when you got a chance. Because if they beat Dallas, look out.
And who's us? Are you a part of the Bears organization?
You're damn right.
Because
we always were taught
in journalism school, don't say we, I didn't go to journalism. Yeah, clearly. You don't have to even say that. It's obvious.
Right.
But, like, you're not on the team. You don't go to Hallis Hall and practice. Don't say let us beat them.
When my blood pressure goes from a normal level to, like, 190 over 170 when I'm watching a game, I'm right out there with him.
You know who could say don't let us beat him? Tom Waddle. I got news for Akeem Hicks and Prince Amukamara. That's Bears royalty. He can say it.
Yeah, so can I. And so can every other person in their car, man, woman, child, that gets invested,
dogs.
Gets up, puts their dogs.
Cats.
Yoshi and his Bears scarf.
Mm-hmm.
All my dogs actually in Bears scarves. Trade them out for Cubs in the summer. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is when every man, woman, and child that invests their Sunday and buys jerseys and hats and plans their brunch menu around the gate, every one of them is involved.
How many outfits for your brunch menu? You have an outfit pre-brunch when you're cooking it, then a brunch outfit, then post-brunch change?
No, I actually have an outfit that I bowl in.
Plans his brunch menu.
And so for the don't let us win take, how good will Trubisky be over the course of the next month to get us there?
Well,
I think that's the major question, right?
I just go one snap, one play, one game at a time. So I'm worried about Thursday. That's it.
Okay, so how will Trubisky look on Thursday against the Cowboys?
I think Matt is going to try and run the football. So I do believe Mitchell Trubisky will be 22 of 29 for 235 yards and two scores. I think that's a very solid performance. And run the football, Matt. Run the football.
Can he run with the quarterback? Does that count? I saw a lot of quarterbacks over the course of the last week in the NFL run.
Yeah.
Sorry, Aaron Rodgers. Great success. Running. And including the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen ran the football against them.
Well, Mark Helfrich, the Bears offensive coordinator, said yesterday when he met the media that Trubisky, because the Cowboys defense is so elite and their pass rush is so stout, that Trubisky's going to have to run. We saw against the Lions, he was scared to run. He didn't want to get hit. He was going out of bounds. He was very timid. He's going to have to suck it up and go this week.
Got to. Peter Andriatis down in Miami, who's a P1, bit of a hater at times on Trubisky, but he's a good dude. He says one snap, one drive, one game at a time. I like that. I'm going to go with that. One snap, one drive, one game at a time. That's it. That's how you win. It worked for the Cubs. That's how you win. There you go. 312-332-3776. Your Bears calls, we've got them locked and loaded. We check it with Jesse Rogers on the Cubs saying, bye-bye, Addison Russell. That's coming up next.
One batter, one pitch, one out at a time. You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
We're going to keep grinding, brother.
You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
That front four that they have, you know, they do have blitzes. They'll blitz you, but that's a team and a defense that's able to, they get home with four guys. You know, they can get after you. And so I think they're top one, two, or three. They're top three, I think, at least on third down right now. And they definitely put pressure on you.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
That's Matt Nagy. We'll talk to the media again today. 312-332-3776 is our phone number.
Cap, you like to react to Twitter. I'm getting a lot, and when I say a lot, I mean a lot of people on Twitter questioning you saying we when referring to the Bears, because they point out on November 3rd, which is exactly a month ago today, you tweeted this: I'm seriously considering going outside to help my wife put our summer furniture away on a Bears Sunday. I could watch the condensed version on tape later. Less time to throw up. Disgusting and so wildly disappointing. So a month ago today, you gave up on the team that you are now calling we. A lot of people it's not sitting well with that you want to call this Bears team we when a month ago you quit on them. Please, comment. The floor is all yours.
Yeah. Don't get
guilty.
Don't get it twisted, kid. Don't get it twisted.
Don't call him we if you're going to quit on him. Guilty.
I did not quit on him.
What do you mean? You went outside to help your wife put the summer furniture away.
I never did.
Disgusting. Less time to throw up. Wildly disappointing. I think from this point forward, you should not be allowed to call him we. Do you want me to make it a poll? Should Cap be allowed to call the Bears we when on November 3rd he quit on the team?
Yeah, no. I don't think so. But I did not quit on him because I stayed in there and watched. I made sure that Mindy was hydrated while she was putting the furniture away. I stayed in and did my job. I was there. I was cheering my you-know-what off, even if we had a bad game. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Jay Campo said, hey, Cap, give Kevin Millar credit on that phrase from four nights in October, 30 for 30. LOL. He's right. Don't let us win on Thursday. Don't. I'm just telling you. Better euthanize us while you can. Heaven forbid we went on Thursday. They're going to get really, really nervous up in Cheese Country. Oh, God, would it be great. Just don't get ahead of ourselves. Just beat Dallas. Let's get Dallas first. George is in Old Town. George is next. Hey, George, what's up, Sparkles?
You're the best, my friend.
You too.
Look, the Bears can do it. Their run game has come around. It's all about the good mix of run and pass. They got to do 4.5, 5 yards a carry. If they can do that, the offensive line has to come to the table in this game. And I think we can make the playoffs. We can sweep it, my friend.
Hey, man, love the optimism. One at a time. That's it. That's how we live. One snap, one drive, one game at a time. That's it. Skaden Eric says, Cap only lives one way. Manic. Meathead today, temper tantrum tomorrow when they lose. It's all right. Damn right. I live all in. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Preston in Vernon Hills, Illinois. Preston, what's up, kid?
Howdy.
How you doing?
I have such mixed reviews because I'm 100% on your mission with the Bears take down the Cowboys. They're going to be something to deal with. But I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've never beaten anybody with a winning record. So, and Dak looks terrible in any kind of cold weather. Yesterday they put out that they're practicing one day this week outside to help prepare for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I think this much is just as much that the Bears are going to kill the Cowboys, very possibly, because Dak looks like a scared, wet puppy dog outside having no idea what to do when he plays up in cold weather. I mean, they look like trash in New England. And don't get me wrong, I'm a guy who puts all three of my girls under 4 years old, my wife, my dog, everybody in Cowboys attire on game day. But I watch every snap of the Bears game, too, since being a local here. So I think you're right. The Bears could absolutely take this down.
All right, man. I hope you're right. I hope that we are having a victory Friday, this coming Friday. 312-332-3776. Let's grab another call. We'll talk to Jesse in a couple minutes. And Jim is in Michigan City. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Cap, how you doing? I don't know what kind of Kool-Aid you're drinking, but I've been a lifelong Bears fan.
Yep.
And I watched that game last night. And I tell you what, Minnesota is so much better of a team. They have a better quarterback, a better wide receiver, a better tight end, a better running back. And their defense is almost as good, if not better, than the Bears.
I find it funny, then. How come they lost both games last year, and how come they came in here this year and got their head kicked in?
Well, they came in when the Bears were fresh and early and before all the injuries. And
oh, really? Akeem Hicks didn't even play in the game.
Well, you know, they had a bunch of other good players in there to fill in for them.
Let's just admit, you choose to live a life of negativity. I choose to live a life of positivity.
Well, don't get me wrong. I love the Bears. I've been there through thick and thin with them. And believe me, I wish they were in the Super Bowl every year, but I'm a realist. The realist says that, you know, until this quarterback improves a little more, until they get a comparable tight end, which is terrible. I mean, you look at most of the good teams in the NFL today, they have, you know, they go with a good a tight end. And we need that for sure. And our offensive line is just terrible.
Hey, man, have a great day, okay?
Yeah, you too. Thank you, sir.
See you, buddy. There's Jim in Michigan City. Just push your heart in. Just go. They're alive. Got some help last night. Just put your heart out right there out on the table. Let it beat. and see where the ride takes you. May throw you. May we get crushed on Thursday. Maybe we don't. Don't let us win on Thursday now. Don't let us win. Joe is on the north side. Hey, Joe, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, how's it going, Buttercup?
What's up?
Well, first of all, man, you know what? I don't think it was all that bad, him wanting to go outside and help the old lady, man. Come on. I'll tell you what. I am guilty of changing the channel. And when was it? It was against the Eagles. Okay, I changed the channel. It was about the second quarter. We started getting our butts handed to us, and I started to watch The Office. But I did change it back, and I will tell you, I am a diehard to the grave Bears fan. You guys have a good one.
Have a great day, man. Enjoy. 312-332-3776. Austin's in Hanover Park. Hey, Austin, what's up, buddy?
Yo, what's going on? Big fan of the show.
Thanks, bud.
You guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I got the Bears winning against the Cowboys, and I think we could beat Green Bay. And then if we could beat Green Bay, why not beat the Chiefs in prime time and then win out the rest of the season? I'm definitely crazy for saying that, considering the way they played, but why not? Why not see it? We were fine just last year. I think if Mitch could get it together, let's do it. And make it happen.
Love the positivity, kid. Keep it rolling.
Thanks, Cap.
All right, see ya. Jesse Rogers joins us now to talk some baseball. We'll get back to more Bears calls. Dan Orlovsky's at 10 o'clock. Darnell Mabier talks Bulls at 11:05 after they beat Sacramento last night.
We have a late addition to the show. Waddle Wednesday will now be Waddle Tuesday.
Going up?
Really?
Yep. Tommy Waddle just called me. They are on the road tomorrow. If you know, they have this great parody song contest.
Correct.
They are out and about tomorrow where they will award the champion of the parody song contest. Waddle, being the mensch he is, said, listen, I can't be there tomorrow. I will come in early for you today.
Love it.
Never say no to a Tom Waddle.
And then I would like Tommy to participate that in the Bill Polian interview.
I'll ask him if he would like to.
That'd be great.
We can't force Tom Waddle to do anything.
That'd be great.
And then one of you in that interview can call the Bears we, and one of you cannot.
No, that doesn't work for me. Jesse Rogers joins us now. Cubs say goodbye to Addison Russell. Thank goodness. Jesse, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Cap. How are you, pal? What are we going to do in San Diego next week? You buying or what?
Some of us have to work for a living out there.
Oh, yeah, like I don't have to work. Do you realize what the winter meetings are about, even though it's nice to get to the good weather? You won't leave the hotel, or I won't leave the hotel for 4 days. So
that's what
as much as it sounds like we're going to hit the beaches in San Diego and the gas lamp district, we'll be in the hotel for 4 days because it really is day till, you know, where most of the work gets done at the bar at night, because that's where you get these executives with a couple pops, and then they loosen up and they give you some information.
Yeah,
that's
how it all goes down. They give you a few scoops.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's talk about the non-tender of Addison Russell. Was this a decision that came right down in the 11th hour? Did they try to trade him, or this was a fait accompli?
Fait accompli. It really was. I think they had made this decision early on in the process. I mean, it's something you can start to think about during the season, because you know who your arbitration eligible players are. But I think take his personal problems out of it. I think they did exactly what they would have done without that. A year ago, he would have been tendered. He wasn't costing much. He was not coming off, you know, the worst year, and it was only going to cost him 3 point whatever. Okay, you give him the contract. Again, take the personal stuff out of it from a baseball side of things. This year, coming off a terrible year, having been sent down to the minors, didn't know the signs, all that stuff, not showing anything near the potential that he showed when he first came up. Now he's getting a little bit more expensive, over $5 million. And that's the one thing, Cap, I mentioned, I think, during the GM meetings on the air. The one part of the economic system, of all the things, all the layers to it, that favors the players is the arbitration process. As Theo said in his statement yesterday, guys get raises that don't deserve it. Now, you're seeing more and more guys get non-tendered. I think it was 40 yesterday. Jeff Passan tweeted that out. And I think because teams are now starting to realize, okay, if we're not going to pay for past performance with free agency, why should we do it with arbitration? We're not going to pay for what they did. We want to pay for what they're going to do. And if what Russell did was so bad that, you know, they don't even want to pay for 1 year. Remember the old saying, there's no bad one-year deals?
Yep.
Well, this is why you're seeing more and more guys get let go. So, again, take the personal stuff out of it. He didn't deserve to be tendered because he was playing. Now, add the personal stuff back in. I think that's one reason why his game has gone so south in the last few years. I think that's obvious. In fact, of all the athletes I've ever been around, of the ones that we've known, you know, personal problems attached to them, I've never seen a player, you know, be affected so much for obvious reasons. He had some major, major issues in his personal life that caused by himself, and it's caused his game to tank, I think. I think that's, you could draw a straight line between the two. So from a baseball perspective, he had every reason to be non-tendered.
All right, let's talk about what Jeff Passan wrote, that the Cubs have been, according to various executives, aggressive, manic, motivated, and obvious in their desire to trade someone or someones. The Cubs are going to make a move. They're just not sure what yet, and it's why Rizzo's name is coming up in discussions. What do you think happens, or do you think we will actually see Cubs-related moves at the winter meetings?
I think by the end of the winter meetings, there's a good chance, and I don't always predict that, but this would be the year. They've laid the groundwork. They're doing their due diligence with any kind of prospects that they need to, you know, because that's what they're getting back. They're not going Bryant for Lindor, just using him as an example. It's going to be, you know, sort of prospect heavy. Not to say they won't trade for a major leaguer, but or a major league ready arm, but it's going to be someone at the beginning of his career. Let's put it that way. The major name or two that comes back. I'm hearing exactly the same thing that Jeff wrote. And I haven't talked to him since the GM meetings, but it's exactly what we thought would happen going into the offseason, that there was not going to be, they weren't going to focus on just Chris Bryant. They weren't just going to focus on Wilson Contreras. They were going to cast a wide net and see what any of these guys could bring back. That includes Craig Kimbrel, by the way, which right now probably isn't a lot. I believe if the Cubs are not in the race, Craig Kimbrel gets traded in July if he has any value at all. So I think you add Kimbrel in that mix, just maybe not right now. Javi Baez is probably the least likely to go. Again, maybe Rizzo for various reasons, his age, his contract. You know, his contract makes him attractive to other teams, but the position he plays and his contract makes him also attractive to keep. So I think the net is wide. I can't tell you which guy's going to which team. That's you know, that's confidential information that isn't getting leaked right now. Maybe it will be as they get closer to a trade. But I'm hearing the exact same stuff, and it's stuff that they've portrayed. They haven't said anything that they're not doing anything they haven't said they're going to do. They're staying out of the deep end of the free agent pool, and they're concentrating on trades right now.
So Cole Hamels did a podcast yesterday with Chuck Garfine.
Mm-hmm.
And 35 minutes, I'm going to play a clip of it later. But he talked about the White Sox and being a good fit over there. Why, are the Cubs not at all interested in any type of veteran pitching?
No, I think they are. They're just not interested in anybody that's going to be 15 to 10, you know, 15, 20 million for multiple years. They're not waiting to that side of the, they're not looking at that side of it right now, because I think they want to get younger in their starting staff. And that would be about trading Bryant or Contreras for somebody else's top one or two prospects from the pitching side of things. So no, I don't think they're looking at that now to fill out the rotation or certainly you have to fill out the bullpen. They might be looking, but no, not any big type of acquisition. I said this at the GM meetings. I absolutely feel like the White Sox are going to be, let's call it the not the deep end of the pool, but not the shallow end of the pool. You know, when you can't stand, but it's not, you know, you're at like 6 feet, you know, and you're 5'8" or 5'9" like me, and you can't quite stand, but you can. You just take one step towards the shallow end, and you'll be okay. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's where the White Sox are. I mentioned the Madison Bumgarners. Now, Grandel among catchers is probably, you know, closer to the deep end of the pool, but we know it's probably not going to be Gerrit Cole. I don't think they might inquire, but I don't think it's going to happen, or Strasburg. But think about the mid-level guys that could really help that team. They've got that catching veteran. Now they probably need a starting veteran, again, in the vein of a Madison Bumgarner. I keep mentioning him. It's just that kind of fit. So Cole Hamels, I think, probably applies. Cole Hamels would apply as well. He's not exactly the top-end guy. He's not trash either. He's somewhere in the middle. So that's why I think it makes sense for the White Sox when you hear Cole Hamels or anyone else talk about them.
All right, before I let you go, this morning Ken Rosenthal said that the bidding for Zach Wheeler already has surpassed $100 million. Says White Sox, Twins, Reds, Rangers, Blue Jays as the teams with ongoing interest in Wheeler, but it's a non-exclusive list. In addition, the Rangers are in on Anthony Rendon. So are we to take this then that the Chicago Cubs, not being mentioned on anybody, are totally pulling back, and despite having some good players, this is an absolute reset totally for the organization?
It does seem that way. It does seem that way. If you are trading one of your stars for a prospect or two or a major league ready player that isn't a star yet, then you are by definition pulling back unless you replace that star with a free agent. We know that's probably not happening. So again, trading a star means a step back inherently. Because you're not replacing Chris Bryant with Anthony Rendon. That's just not going to happen that way if they trade Bryant. You know, I did a poll of the GM or executives coming out of the GM meetings. It wasn't all straight GMs. It was assistant GMs, stuff like that. A couple of them said Zach Wheeler would be the most get the most overpriced contract, and it may very well. I mean, what's on his resume? He had a decent year last year, but what's on his resume? Now, if you think Gerrit Cole and Strasburg might get overpaid, that might be true, but they, at least they have something on their resume. But if Zach Wheeler is getting over $100 million, that's going to be an interesting contract in terms of, you know, what's his performance. I'm not saying that the White Sox shouldn't go after him. That's the type of player they can get. And starting pitchers do get overpaid, you know, a lot of times in free agency anyway, and free agents do in general. But, you know, it's interesting. And I did one guy told me at the GM meetings, Anthony Rendon would get 8 and 280 from the Texas Rangers. The Rangers are desperate because they're moving into a new ballpark. So it's a lot of layers to things. And what it tells me is the Cubs are not going to be playing in that end of the pool, as I said. It's just, all right, you know, think of 280 for Rendon or over 100 for Wheeler. That's not in the Cubs market.
All right. I will see you in San Diego, kid.
You got it. Up and early.
Look forward to it.
You got it.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
That's our guy, Jesse Rogers. He'll join us on the show in San Diego. Danny and I will be live there starting on Monday. Prince Amukamara, Bears cornerback, addresses Akeem Hicks hanging up on our Tommy Waddle. Next.
Carmen and Yurko.
Bears football in just 2 days. They got the Thursday Nighter coming up.
They got Trubisky.
We got Miller.
Robinson.
We've got players making plays.
Let's get it done.
Kyle Brandt at 12:30, plus last night's Bulls and Hawks game. See you at noon for Crosstalk on ESPN 1000.
All right, thanks, Carm. Boys will be down here for Crosstalk, as he said, and ready with their great program before they hand it off to Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2. 312-332-3776. Hoodie tonight. So, last week, Akeem Hicks acted like a baby talking to Waddle and Sylvie and hung up when Tommy made a joke about his injured elbow. And so, yesterday, Prince Amukamara was on with Jay Hood. And he asked him about it. But first, let me play you the short version. If you missed it, this is Akeem Hicks with Waddle and Sylvie last week.
You mean you didn't put your arm in between those two Raiders and it popped out a joint on purpose? I can't find... No, I'm joking.
No, that's not a fuck... Hey, who are you... That's a joke?
No, that's why I said I'm not
joking. That's a joke?
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
You're talking about somebody's injury.
No, I know.
No. I'm perfectly respectful. But I'll tell you what. You will not joke
about
an injury.
I'm sorry.
Hey, have a blessed day. This is the last time I'm on this radio station.
Akeem, are you serious? There goes Akeem Hicks. That was sort of very... That got out of hand really
well. I know.
Weird.
I didn't even mean it that way.
Wow. Okay, so Prince Amukamara on last night with Jay Hood, and it gets addressed.
You heard about Akeem, right? Akeem Hicks hanging up on Waddle and Sylvie.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you hear it? Did you hear the audio?
100. I didn't. I just heard the clip that went... the I don't know if it's a minute clip, but whatever went viral.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you hear about it? Do you know that guy?
Akeem Hicks, yes.
No, not Akeem.
Tom Waddle?
Yeah.
Yes, I know Tom.
Okay. Does he work for ESPN?
Yes.
Okay.
Same station.
Okay.
What'd you think of that?
of the whole situation.
Yeah, the clip. You heard the clip, right?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
Do you want to tell the audience what happened on the clip?
Oh, no, they know.
Oh, okay.
Look at them. They all know. See that face? They all know what happened. When Waddle and Sylvie had Akeem Hicks on the radio show, and Tom Waddle was making a joke, but not necessarily at the expense of Akeem Hicks, just pretty much saying, yeah, you know, it's not like you got hurt on purpose. Of course you didn't. And Akeem was like, what? I'll never come back on this radio station again. Now, Akeem has been a guest on this program.
And he said, God bless you at the end.
Yes, that's great. Nobody sneezed. But the whole thing, though, Prince, is that he's been a guest on this program, so I know Akeem pretty well.
Gotcha.
So we've cut it up a lot. He's funny on the show. But he hung up on the show, so he'll never come back on the station again.
So does that mean Waddle Station or ESPN Chicago?
Well, we're all work for the same station.
Okay.
So not only their show, but the station. Because we all work for ESPN 1000.
That's unfortunate.
Maybe not, though. Maybe he just felt like that for the moment. Maybe he will return to ESPN 1000.
That situation is tough because you never know how anyone's feeling. I mean, me, like, being married for, like, 6 years, mm-hmm. like, I could say something to my wife as a joke, and then she might flip out on me, and
yeah.
and I'm thinking, what did I say? So it's just tough. You got to know your personnel, know who you're joking with.
Okay, so that was addressed last night. Are you surprised that this thing had the legs that it had, Danny and Chris?
No, not at all.
Yeah, and I think the surprising thing is I'm not quite sure the current Bears players know who Tom Waddle is.
That's embarrassing.
That's what I took away from hearing that, is it seems as if Prince Amukamara and Akeem Hicks don't quite understand that Tom Waddle bled for the blue and orange, the navy and orange of the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field.
And is only one of the most popular players we've had in the last 30 years.
Yeah, that's what I take away from it.
I enjoyed that clip for two reasons. First, I thought Jay Hood did a really good job of trying to hold Prince Amukamara's feet to the fire. He didn't mm-hmm. let him weasel out of the answer.
Mm-hmm.
He made sure to get something out of him. And I also appreciate Prince Amukamara. Listen, that's a tough spot. Akeem Hicks is his teammate. He does work for ESPN 1000, and he was as honest as he possibly could be. I thought that was a good clip. I'm a little upset that they don't know the history of the team they play for. After hearing that, you can call the Bears we, because I feel like you're more of a Bear player than some of the actual guys on that team.
Thank you, Danny.
For Christ's sake, they should take a class in the history of the team and the colors they wear.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Really fast before we break.
Lewis, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, how's it going, man?
Yep, fire away, kid.
Hey, look, Cap, I love you. Sometimes I disagree with you in certain things, but today, don't let Danny bully you, man. You have every right to say, don't let us win on Thursday. We need to win. Bro, the most important player on that field is the 13th player, which is the fans. It's us. That is our team. We root, we yell, we scream, we criticize them. Because that is our team. Cap, positivity all the way. You the man. I agree with you. That is us. Don't let us win, because Green Bay better watch out.
That's right.
Bears down. Let's go. Don't let Danny bully you, man. Although Danny's my man. Danny, I love you. You helped me make the playoffs with my fantasy, but you're 100% wrong. You guys have a good one, and let's go Bears. Let's ride.
Lewis, you're the best. Have a good day, man.
Listen,
see you, kid.
Listen,
take that, Danny.
This is out of character for the show, but I have flipped. You can say we if Akeem Hicks can say we.
Brought to you, by the way, Jesse was brought to you by Dan Fields and the Fields Auto Group. Get a unique, one-of-a-kind car buying experience by visiting one of their many Chicagoland dealerships or visit them at fieldsauto.com. Dan is a good man. We'll take a timeout. Dan Orlovsky, next.